Friends, if you like to turn, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read the first 13 verses of this chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him?' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up to give him anything, because he has is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if the son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this time that we're now about to spend around your word. And we look to you, Father, to help us in a very special way again this morning, and speak to us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to begin a short series on the subject of prayer. Now, I know that it's something that we often talk about, and yet I am convinced beyond any doubt that it's something that we as individuals and as a church must continually keep uppermost in our mind. The title that I give is a title that I have borrowed from a hymn: "Prayer is the Christian's vital breath." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. What is the most important thing, one would ask, in a Christian's life? This, of course, is a question that will be followed by many different answers. Some will say, "I believe that it is fellowship. Christians really need to be able to fellowship," and that is true. Others will say, "I think that worship is most important," and that is very true. Some will say, "Well, the church needs to be more evangelistic and needs to evangelize, and individuals need to do the same, and we would agree. Others might say we need to care for the needy, and we need to show love and kindness. And we could go on and on. You can think of the many different answers that would be given to the question, what is most important in the Christian's life? I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that many people would say, I believe that prayer is the most important exercise in the life of the church, and also, of course, in the life of the Christian. Why do I say that most people would not put that at the top of the list? Purely in the light of what I have observed over the many years of being a Christian. I can see that the hardest exercise to maintain within the life of the church is the prayer meeting. And I have no doubt about that. Those who want to challenge me, okay. But as far as I can see, over all the years that I have been in the ministry and in the years when I was within the life of the church, I have seen this, that it is the hardest meeting of the church to maintain. It is almost also always the worst attended meeting of the week in the church, and that's going right across the board. We know that for many churches, they have actually just given up on having prayer midweek because they cannot maintain it. The call to prayer is often met with apathy and indifference. Church programs can be numerous, yet peppered with what often is described as a word of prayer. Ever noticed that? We're having a meeting that'll maybe go on for two hours, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer. And that lasts a minute. Prayer is almost always shoved into the corner or crowded out completely. That is why I believe that most people would not put prayer at the top of the list. If we were to think about our private prayer, it would be the very same thing. If you and I were to decide what is most important for us in the life and our own personal walk with God, then if we look at prayer, we will conclude that we have decided that prayer is not the most important. And so we can say the same is true in our personal lives. How do I know that? I know that because I'm judging others, but because I know myself and I know my own prayer life. This is why most people, as I've said before, will not consider prayer to be of greatest importance. There are many hymns and songs that have been written on the subject of prayer. John Newton loved prayer, and he has written probably more than most hymn writers on that subject. But I think that the best hymn that I have ever come across on the subject of prayer is that hymn by James Montgomery. And it's actually right on the back of your sheet. We will not sing it. Perhaps we should have, but I want you just to turn to it. It's right at the back after the announcements. I want to take a moment to read this through. Now, we're not going to get too far in the subject this morning, but I want to introduce it at least. And as I say, here we have a hymn which in many ways helps me greatly anyway to understand the importance of prayer. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. That, of course, is based upon the reading that we just have had in Luke chapter 11. And this is the prayer of the believer. We're speaking to the Lord Jesus and said, O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself have trod. Lord, teach us how to pray. In the second verse, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered and unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, that which is uttered, that which is unexpressed. It's the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breath. Verse 3, we've missed out. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Beautifully written. Here you can see, he's saying, prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try, and prayer is the sublimest strain that reaches the majesty on high. Verse 5, prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his way, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, Behold, he prays. Prayer, and this is where my heading came from, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword, at the gates of death, he enters heaven with prayer. Now you can see the importance that the writer is putting on prayer here when he says prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Our prayer is made on earth alone. The Holy Spirit pleads, and Jesus on the eternal throne for sinners intercede. He's saying prayer is not only made on earth alone. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps us as we pray. The Holy Spirit pleads. And Jesus on the eternal throne for sinners intercedes. It's a great hymn that reminds us of the importance and significance of prayer. Two questions which I ask this morning, and I won't have time to answer both of them, but we will try to answer at least part of the first one. Two important questions. Firstly, what is prayer? And secondly, why is it so important? What is prayer, and why is it so important? I've only time this morning to look at three answers to the first question. What is prayer? And firstly, I want to suggest to you that prayer is the worship of God. Prayer is the worship of God. How easy it is to think that prayer is simply going to God's gift shop and saying, Lord, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want it today, and I want to pick it up right away. It's so easy for us to think a prayer in that way. But as we come this morning to think of prayer, I want you to see, as we study the Word of God, we see that prayer is worship of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 10, we read similar words to we read in Luke's Gospel. And when you pray, Jesus said, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the passage that we read this morning, we read these words, and Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus is praying in a certain place, and whenever he was finished, the disciples, or one of the disciples, came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist is teaching his disciples to pray. Now we can see at a glance there, can't we, how important prayer is. You see, the disciples had listened to Jesus pray, and they wanted to be able to pray like him. The disciples knew that very often in the evening Jesus would leave them, and he would go out into the mountainside to pray, and he would spend all night in prayer to his heavenly Father. The disciples were aware that he did this again and again and again. They also listened to him whenever he was in their company, and they listened to him pray. And so he speaks to them, and they say to him, Lord, would you please teach us how to pray just as you pray? And that's when the Lord Jesus gives to the disciples and to the Church of Jesus Christ, which is with us to this day, the pattern prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. I think most are agreed that it wasn't really given as a prayer that we should simply repeat, although I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with that. Here, the Lord Jesus is telling them, teaching them how to pray. I want you to note, and there's so many things that I would like to say in all of this, and that's why I struggled this week in this sermon, so many things I wanted to say and think about. I want us to note how we are to address God in prayer. He says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, this immediately teaches us who can pray. I want you to note this. I want you to see this. Here we have, at the outset, a lesson on who it is who is able to pray. He says, whenever you come to pray, you say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, you and I realize that if we are going to address God as our Father, then we must be God's children. Away with the idea that all of us are God's children and that all the people of the world are God's children. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so what we see here, that the Lord Jesus is saying to the disciples, this is how you pray, and this is who can pray, those who are able to address God as Father. You know the verses in John 1, which says he came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. But all who did receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Who are children of God? Those who come to believe in him, who trust in him. And verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So children of God are truly children of God. In what way? They are born of God. They are born again into the family of God. And those are the people who are able to pray. Now, I know that some people get upset at that, but that's the reality. Who is able to pray, truly able to pray in a way in which God will hear? Those who are his children. Those who have received him by faith. Those that believe in his finished work. Those who pin their eternal hopes on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. Only those of the right. And it's only those who will be heard by God. The privilege of prayer belongs to the children of God. Some might ask the question, and it's a good question to ask, does that mean that we should not then teach our children to pray? My answer to that, and I know that it's correct, is no. We should teach our children to pray, but we must teach them about prayer, and we must teach them that God will only hear the prayers of a repentant sinner. That God will only hear the prayers of those who have repented of their sin. So that means, parents, that you're going to have to teach your children from their earliest days the truths of the gospel. And that means that you're not going to water down that gospel to suit their tender little hearts. And I'm not being hard, because I love children. But my dear friends, we do a great disservice to our children if we do not teach them the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ from their earliest days. We should not be afraid to speak to them about sin, not afraid to speak to them about death, and yea, not afraid to speak to them about hell. And remind them that whilst we are teaching them how to pray, the only prayer that God will hear is the prayer of his own repentant children who trust him and depend upon him. To neglect that is to neglect the spiritual well-being of your child. I think Sunday school teachers also need to be very careful when they're teaching the children in Sunday school or in children's clubs or whatever, that they don't water down the gospel because of their tender hearts. Yeah, they need to be wise, but they need to present that truth clearly to them. What we want to see, really, of course, in this passage is what follows. I want us to note the tone of the prayer. Jesus said, this is how you're to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now you remember the point that we're dealing with at the moment, and I just sidetracked somewhat there for a moment or two. The point that we're dealing with is that prayer is worship of God. This is not just a plea here. This is a cry of worship to God. Whenever you pray, you should say, Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what you can hear there is you can hear words of worship that are ascending from the heart of the believer as he comes into the presence of the Holy God. He comes, she comes in worshipful prayer. I haven't time, I've got some of the prayers here on my notes that were prayed, one prayer by Daniel and others, and I know I have just not time to look at those. But if you ever take time to read through those prayers, then you will come to realize that whenever men and women are praying in the Bible, they're worshiping. They're worshiping God. It's not just coming into God's gift shop to browse around, or to come into God's gift shop with a list of requests. It's a coming into the presence of a holy God. And as we come in worshipful prayer to the throne of grace, to the Lord our God. We come, and we come to him in worship. You see, it's very sad in today's world, the idea that sometimes people have about worship. The worship of the true and living God is an awesome thing. It's a fearful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come worship him. It is the highest thing in the heart of, or should be in the heart of, the believer to be able to come in their private devotions to worship, in their family devotions to worship, to come to the Lord's house and the Lord's day and on other occasions and in the prayer meetings to worship. You see, my dear friends, if we can see that, then our attitude toward prayer will change dramatically. And we will be a people who grow to love the house of prayer, love the place of prayer, love our quiet devotions as we come and worship to God. So prayer is the worship of God. Secondly, and this is closely related, prayer is fellowship with God. It is fellowship with God. Humanity was created to have fellowship with God. And I don't think that that can be overemphasized. In fact, I know it cannot be. It's something that we must continually remind ourselves and others about, that we were created to have fellowship and communion with God. You know the verses in Matthew 18 where Jesus said, "Again, I said to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I amongst them." The verse that went before, "If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am among them." What do we see from that verse or those verses? We can see very clearly from those verses that whenever people gather truly for prayer, whether they are alone, whether they're with two or three, whether they're in a prayer meeting, or whether with a multitude of God's people, what the Lord has said, "I am there amongst them." So this is another reason why prayer should be such a joy to the Christian. Think about it in this way, and I hope this helps. If I were to say to you on Wednesday night, "We plan to meet in Dinica's home," and yeah, in case you've forgotten, I want you to know that Jesus will be there. You might look at me and wonder. But my dear friends, that's what Jesus is saying here. "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." And so we see that if you come in your private time of devotion and prayer to God, as you come there, you realize that you're not alone, that He is there. Either He is there or he's untruthful. But He's the God who cannot lie. As you read this and think about it, I believe your heart will leap for joy. As you think about coming to worship, prayerful worship, you know the Lord is going to be there, and you're going to fellowship with Him. You're going to speak to Him as a man speaks to his friend. He's going to listen, He's going to hear, and He's going to answer. That'll put a whole new face upon your prayer life. And your heart will truly leap for joy. You will cry in your own heart, I cannot wait. You would say to yourself, looking quickly into your diary and scribbling out so many things that are on that particular hour of prayer and putting in an appointment with Jesus. You carefully make your preparation to meet with him. You look forward with loving anticipation. As I say, there were many hymns written on the subject of prayer, and I looked at quite a number this week. But one that's a very simple prayer, hymn of prayer, that we often sing, perhaps not so often because this one is not in our hymn book. It's in the Trinity hymn book, but not in our hymn book. And of course you'll know it, most of you will know it. Sweet hour of prayer. Let me quote it. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls us from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. I oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. You notice it's called sweet hour of prayer. Second verse, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. The joy I feel, the bliss I share with those whose anxious spirit burn with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face. Can I read that again? With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. With such he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace. I cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Let me ask you, Christian brother, sister, how often have you sung that hymn? I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but I'll guarantee almost everybody here knows that hymn. But do the truths ring true in your life, prayer life and mine? Sweet hour of prayer. And with such you hasten to the place where God, your Savior, shows his face, and you gladly take your station there and you wait for him. Sweet hour of prayer. You know, the fact is that I cannot understand why my prayer life should be so dull and listless. I truly bemoan that, and I truly repent of it. How on earth can that be? As I thought about it, this is what I wrote in my notes. Come, my soul, see the bliss of fellowship with the one who loves me with everlasting love. Come, my soul, see the bliss and the fellowship that I can have with my God, Wonder of wonders. Whenever I come in prayer, in true worshipful prayer to Him, He is there. He's with me. I know His presence. The triune God is in the midst. And yet, my prayer life is pathetic. So you can see, my dear friends, why we suggest to you this morning that prayer is, beyond a doubt, the most important exercise of the believer. I had a third point. I can't touch that. We will leave that for another time. I was going to say that prayer is worship of God. Secondly, prayer is fellowship with God. And thirdly, prayer is faith in God. But I just would keep you too long, and I don't want to do that. But oh, my dear friends, I want us this morning to really examine our own hearts and be honest with ourselves before Almighty God. I've said in more than one occasion, and I believe it to be true, that the churches that fail and the numbers dwindle and the doors close is the church that has lost sight of this truth of prayer being the Christian's vital breath. As I look at South City Church, there are times when I become concerned for it, because I realize that we really need to be more of a praying church. That's something we put on our list of prayer in this last number of weeks now. We ask God that South City Church will become more of a praying church, because we know that prayer is the prayer house. It's there that the church knows the presence, and it's there that the church will know the power of God. So much more to consider. But what an amazing privilege. What an amazing truth. And the hymn writer says this: oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So often we see God's people struggle. So often we know what it is to struggle ourselves. I am convinced that we must continually take stock of our prayer life, and in doing so, we will know the help of God, the grace of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. And so this morning, like the apostles of 2,000 years ago, we lift our eyes to heaven. We look full in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, exalted Savior. And we say to Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We know, Father, that in ourselves we feel somewhat weak even to talk about it. But we pray and ask that You will help us. Father, we pray that we will never be guilty at looking at somebody else's prayer life, but that we will always be diligent at looking at our own. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who is not a child of God, help them to understand that their prayer is just words until they're able to truly and honestly address you as our Father who art in heaven. Bless your word to all our hearts again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.